It's Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Hackers have compromised a German steel mill. A nuclear power plant in South Korea is facing threats from hackers calling themselves the Anti-Nuclear Reactor Group. Imagine losing a majority of your followers on Instagram. That's what happened during what is being deemed the Instagram Rapture. Spare parts are now being emailed to the International Space Station. And a self-destructing smartphone has arrived for spies. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Operation Christmas Child is one of the great stories that's unfolding in our lifetime.
We are only seeing just the beginning of this project. And these children will change the world.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. Blast furnace at a German steel mill suffered massive damage following a cyber attack on the plant's network. Details of the incident emerged in the annual report of the German Federal Office for Information Security, or BSI. In its report, BSI said the attackers were very skilled and used both targeted emails and social engineering techniques to infiltrate the plant. In particular, said BSI, the attackers used a spear phishing campaign aimed at particular individuals to trick people into opening messages that sought and grabbed login names and passwords. The phishing helped the hackers extract information they used to gain access to the plant's office network and then its production systems. The BSI report said that once inside the steel mill's network, the technical capabilities of the attackers became evident, as they showed familiarity with both conventional IT security systems and the specialized software used to oversee and administer the plant. The attack caused parts of the plant to fail, and it meant a blast furnace could not be shut down normally. The unscheduled shutdown of the furnace is what caused the damage. BSI did not name the company operating the plant, nor where the attack took place. In addition, it said it did not know who was behind the attacks, nor what motivated it. That is an incredibly scary idea, Robbie.
Sasha, it makes me wonder about all the security researchers and professional, you know, security gurus who have for years been saying to the governments and to nuclear power management companies and steel mills and, you know, big industries, don't have your machines connected to the internet. Mm-hmm. Hello. Sony Pictures would learn from that. One of the things that you got to consider is that these machines, these CNC machines and big steel mill production machines, some of them were put into production 50 years ago. Maybe more, but certainly they're older than the internet, and they weren't built with security in mind. They were built with a specific function. So then all of a sudden, to connect them all together and make them controllable from the outside world, it sounds like a convenience thing, but realistically, those things weren't built for security. Mm-hmm. So isn't it to be expected that if you take those old devices, that, you know, you just can't do that?
It's
make them connected.
It's not safe, but furthermore, it's scary to not know who's behind the attack or the motivation. Right? It just leads you down a slippery slope of fear.
We're hearing a lot about these threats of hacker attacks. Tonight you mentioned another story that's coming up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And these threats of cyber warfare, we're really starting to see a lot of that because the technology has surpassed what is on our network. You know, if I have old devices that are connected to the same network that is internet connected, you can't upgrade those devices. You can't take an old CNC machine and upgrade its firmware with modern software. It just doesn't take it. It doesn't work. They're still running XP, mm-hmm. right? You've got a problem.
And the false sense of security means that it would be easy to target individuals to open messages and possibly get into the system itself.
Yeah. Well, old school industries, too, lead to people who maybe don't have a security mindset, maybe don't have the training because they're working with old school mm-hmm. devices, old school mindsets.
Mm-hmm. Now, you alluded to this story.
Yep.
On Friday, designs and manuals of plant equipment owned by Korea Hydro and Nuclear Power Company were put online by an unknown individual or group. Using an account named President of the Anti-Nuclear Reactor Group, the hacker posted blueprints of nuclear reactors on social media. A threat was made that unless three reactors were closed by Christmas, people should stay away from them. Korea Hydro said the leaked data did not undermine the safety of the reactors. Korea Hydro and Nuclear Power Company, the sole nuclear operator in Korea, is part of the state-run utility Korea Electric Power Corporation. In a statement, the operator said it would conduct a series of large-scale drills at four nuclear power plant complexes yesterday and today. Authorities said a probe into the hacking and leak of internal documents had been launched. Oy. So there is seriously some very scary, interesting things happening in Korea as well. So let's hope that that doesn't become the norm. I don't know. Now, here's an Instagram news story. Photo sharing app Instagram has removed millions of accounts believed to be posting spam, angering many legitimate users. People who lost a lot of followers criticized the action, dubbing it the Instagram rapture. Like its parent company, Facebook, Instagram routinely removes accounts to limit spam and prevent users buying followers to appear more popular. Akon reportedly lost 56% of his followers in the cull. The big losers were Justin Bieber, minus 3,538,228 followers, and an online marketing specialist called Wellington Campos, which lost 3,284,304 followers overnight. One account, ShiragShirag78, lost 99% of his followers, 3,660,460, before he himself was deleted. Instagram's own account on the site lost 18,880,211 followers overnight.
Wow.
In the rapture.
Reminds me, I mean, we think about them spam, you know, killing spammer accounts, and you think, well, why are they killing off these accounts? Are they people who have said something bad, or what is it? Yeah, what is spamming on Instagram or other social media networks? Well, fact is as you alluded to, some of these famous individuals, in order to increase their fame, in fact purchase followers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this entire industry surrounding the ability to purchase followers. Well, what happens when a company rises up and says, we will sell you 1 million followers? Where do they get those followers from? They've got a staff, a task force that sits there creating bogus accounts to follow in exchange for cash. We know this is true because of what happened on YouTube with Lady Gaga, who had been buying views for her videos in order to increase their popularity on YouTube. So, you know, if it looks like my video has been viewed 10 million times, it's obviously popular, so more people click on it, right?
Oh.
It's strategy and marketing and dishonesty. But that's what happens on all of these social media platforms. So it's why some of the big companies have an unbelievable amount of followers. And if you actually look at the list, you realize, oh, there's a lot of really fake-looking accounts here. And so, you know, what's going on there?
All of our followers are legit.
They're totally legit. They're honest, legitimate followers. And so, you know, these poor artists who, in order to increase their fame on Instagram, paid to buy a whole bunch of followers. Well, you can't be too upset about that.
Akon.
Sorry, guys.
Justin Bieber.
Although they paid a lot of money. I guarantee you a lot of money. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Here's a great story that is relevant to just an episode we did a couple of weeks ago. Astronauts on the International Space Station have used their 3D printer to make a wrench from instructions sent up in an email.
Nice.
I know.
It begins, folks.
It begins. It is the first time hardware has been emailed to space. NASA was responding to a request by ISS Commander Barry Wilmore for a ratcheting socket wrench. Previously, if astronauts requested a specific item, they could have waited months for it to be flown up on one of the regular supply flights. Huh. So this is far more immediate. Mike Chen, founder of Made in Space, the company behind the 3D printer, said, "We had overheard ISS Commander Barry Wilmore, who goes by Butch, mention over the radio that he needed one. So we designed one in CAD and sent it up to him faster than a rocket ever could have. If a 3D printer can churn out something as useful as a tool in space, what else is possible? Spare parts, components, even equipment. And that's just the beginning." It really is just the beginning, Robbie, because I can only imagine, like, once you have the materials up there to actually create the printing. It's very Jetsons. Like, it's...
It really is, eh?
Amazing.
It's like we're one step away from the Star Trek replicator, the ability to create things from thin air. Well, we saw the Poio 3D here on Category 5 just a couple weeks ago, as Sasha said. And how cool that you can just build something like that. But to think that we're at the point, and I know that, you know, if you follow technology, it's no big deal. Yeah, I know. But realistically, think about where we were 20 years ago versus the ability to craft something on a computer screen, email to space, to an orbiting satellite space station where a cosmonaut is sitting there and gets that email and replicates or creates the device that you created back on Earth just 5 minutes prior and is holding it in his hand. That's where we've come to. It's amazing. I love it.
That'll change everybody's Christmas gift list. You can just start emailing people what you want and have them print it for
That's
you.
That's a scary thought, but I am definitely, definitely interested in boot Lego. You know, just start printing out my Lego and save me some cash monies. How cool is that? I heard the patent expired or some crazy thing like that, so it might be good to invest in a 3D printer.
And if you... Yeah, if you get a Poio, then everybody wins.
I just want it to make me Earl Grey hot. D. Earl Grey hot. That's when we have truly arrived at the peak of technological breakthroughs, folks.
This is great technological news here as well. Boeing and BlackBerry are working together to make an ultra-secure phone for U.S. security staff, which will allow them to communicate securely and blow itself up. If it falls into the wrong hands, of course. Oh, now we've gone from the Jetsons to Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
BlackBerry's CEO, John Chen, gave away some details of the project when presenting the company's earnings. Many of the details of the project have been kept secret, but Boeing provides some on its site. The phone, called Boeing Black, has disk encryption, a cryptographic engine, and modular hardware that allows it to be upgraded and changed in use. It uses Android rather than BlackBerry's own operating system. Google software is said to be favored by the U.S. government because it's more secure. Boeing, which is better known for making planes and weapons, has begun offering the phone to potential customers. So there you have it. This message will self-destruct in T-minus. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.